I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, February 11th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. We'll talk about that a little bit today, but the phone lines are open and it's Friday. So the phone lines are open. 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252, and, well, just in case you happen to live in a cave and not have free long distance somehow, which is very uncharacteristic these days, but still happens, 800-313-9443, again, 800-313-9443. So, a lot going on these days, a lot to distract us and keep us entertained. Was the first century satirist, Roman satirist, Juvenal, I believe, right? Who coined the term bread and circus, I think. And we have, gosh, what do we have going on right now? There's the Greater Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. That's always fun. The 16th hole is always entertaining. And let's see, tomorrow there's UFC 271, I believe it is. Adesanya Whitaker rematch. The champion and former champion. And oh yeah, there's a Super Bowl on Sunday. And oh yeah, there's the Winter Olympics and a lot of other things going on. You know, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? So that's going on. Got a lot going on. But, you know, I think, so is entertainment bad? Is it inherently bad? No, not necessarily. However, again, as I've been saying this week, it is, I would say, in keeping with those things that are used to manipulate people, to distract people. It's not a new technique. You know, we didn't have professional sports before the 20th century. Not really. You know, baseball was an interesting thing. And Bill Cosby talked about a lot of this in his early comedy routines. You know, Dr. Naismith invented basketball, that kind of thing. And the football players that did the, you know, the lowbrow football players that did the commercials, the shaving commercials and so forth. Hey, throw it the ball, kid. Maybe you've seen some of that. But we didn't have those kinds of things. And now they're everywhere, more and more all the time, it seems. Oh, and you can be a professional gamer as well. That's a strange thing, I think. But it just sounds peculiar, like so many other things. But along with all of these things, there's also the meta manipulation of folks. You know, all of this entertainment really kind of lends itself to having people thinking that the world sort of revolves around them. I mean, if you're paying attention at all, you can see that people are increasingly encouraged to believe that they are the star of their own reality TV show or something like that, even though it's not, it's clearly not true. And so that is another one of those double binds, you might say, that really is driving people mad. It's a very strange sort of bizarre existence we find ourselves in generally. And I think one of the most provocative realizations about Hollywood is an awful place. You know, the celebrity and manipulation that it represents. But I think it's curious that people that go to Hollywood and actually go through the fire, they come out the other side and they are more stable than most in some cases. Not in all cases, but you know, when they have the opportunity to confront all of these lies essentially and work their way through them, then they, you know, there are a number of celebrities who seem like just well-balanced people, and I won't name names, but there are a number, and a lot of times they step away from Hollywood as a result. Not always, or sometimes for a while, and then they go back. But I think that's an interesting thing. Character forged in the fire of Hollywood, sort of, sometimes. So the last example, I haven't gotten to the last example of how meta, or information about information, is manipulating people, used to manipulate people. There's one other example I was going to give. At least one. There are a few others, maybe. So meta is, you know, like metadata is information about the information. How to view this information. And that's why the NSA, for example, you know, you listen to Bill Binney, and guys like Bill Binney will tell you that the metadata is as valuable or more valuable in determining, you know, in data mining, for example, the metadata is as valuable or more valuable than the actual content itself. So instead of listening to a bunch of phone calls and sift, you know, listening to this 20-minute phone call and that 20-minute phone call, if you can just sift through the metadata real quick, who was on the call, you know, what numbers, how long did the call last, when was the call made, information about the information, then you might be able to discern certain connections. And from those connections, you might be able to drill down into the information before you even listen to a single call. You might be able to identify several that might be of interest in whatever you're trying to discern. So with that in mind, you know, as valuable as metadata is, it's curious that, and how meta can be used out in front of things to shape people's perception of things, people, events, reality, if you will. It's curious that Facebook decided to change its name to Meta. You know, which is a really strange thing. It would be like, you know, in one sense, it would be like if I named my company Daylight. How can you trademark Daylight? How can you trademark Meta? That's really weird. So one other example, maybe I'll give more today, but here's another. So this is, again, to say it's not what you say or what you think, it's how you're instructed to think about every subject. It's context. You know, like I said yesterday, for example, we are increasingly encouraged in America in particular to view all Muslims as radical Islamist terrorists. And that's just not true, not even remotely true. The truth is that there is a small minority of folks who call themselves Muslims that the broader however many billion folks would not associate with, and nor vice versa, because the smaller Wahhabi Salafi contingent calls the rest of their Islamic brothers infidels because of the puritanical nature of the beliefs. And that all is incubated in Saudi Arabia primarily, particularly because that's where Wahhabism reigns supreme. And then Salafism spreads out from there. Salafism, as I said, is generally considered Wahhabism on tour. Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia, Salafism everywhere else. So that's a curious thing. Why don't we hear about that? And we do, actually, from some places. I mean, PBS Frontline has been doing some great stuff ever since November 2001 to tell us this truth. And so if we're not finding it or not believing it, we have to wonder, why is that? PBS Frontline, I think, has done some great work on that front. It's really interesting. You know, we played a little bit of the clip again yesterday inside the awkward U.S.-Saudi alliance against ISIS. Yeah. And how these groups are continuing to be nursed basically by the same interest, the same Saudi and Saudi surrogate and Western surrogate interests. Why then? What is the purpose of that? And I think the simple answer is, if you're paying attention, even though history is unfolding at glacial speed, it seems to be accelerating. And so we've had a lot of interesting developments in the last 200 or 300 years. A lot just in the last 100 years. You know, you go back to, again, Lawrence of Arabia, Philby of Arabia, British intrigue, and back a little bit from there, the covert effort to, and overt, to balkanize the Ottoman Empire. And, you know, we had songs around that time in so the song, for example, whenever this discussion arises, you know, I think of the song. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. You know, that kind of thing. The Four Lads, I think, but wasn't it done earlier than that? I think it was. I'm not absolutely certain. And then it's been redone, obviously. So things like that sort of correspond to this kind of manipulation. Anyway, how to think about things rather than just what we say. I mean, the what we say, what we think, you know, what we say, the aping of neurolinguistic programming, the cadence and things, like a, you know, a Barack Obama, for example. It's not just that, it's the meta, it's the how to think about things. Used to misguide and misdirect thought and shape or ward and pervert perception, like this Muslim issue, while gaslighting actual reality, which is what I was just talking about. It's out there. It's been out there for 20 years. PBS Frontline has been telling that story very effectively and comprehensively. But who's getting that information? There's an overwhelming effort to silence the truth in that case, as in so many other things. So while the gaslighting of actual reality is going on, there's this narrative that's being fomented, how to think about, how to view certain subjects. Here's another example. This is a crude, approximate illustration, but I think it's fitting. So there are large companies like Spectrum, for example, that have their quality assurance stuff, you know, their QA stuff, and their surveys. They always want to do a survey. If you talk to them, they want to do a survey about how is our service? Rate our service. How would you rate our service? And it's curious. Spectrum customer feedback survey. It's all, I'm picking on Spectrum, but it's always the same. When it's the large monolithic corporations, it's always the same. Verizon, you know, whatever, it's always the same. Customer feedback survey. What's curious, if you listen, I listened to one of these the other day, 5 questions I think they say, you know, and I was disappointed in the company for the service. But it's curious, I don't think most people would notice, especially not if you're emotionally upset or something. If you're emotionally off balance, you definitely, which is another curious fact, when you have some incident or some episode, some false flag episode, for example, some kind of big parlor trick and flashy lights and things, guns or bombs or whatever, and the media always wants to ask somebody who was there, this is what I saw. You are probably the most unreliable person. No one should listen to you, because you were caught up in the moment. You were probably emotionally overawed by what happened, and therefore your perception was probably not entirely objective. So that's always an interesting thing too. I was there, really? And then so from there, it's pretty easy to see how, if you have 3 crisis actors that are interviewed in Delphi sort of fashion, then maybe everybody else who is there starts thinking kind of like the mass formation deal. Everybody starts thinking, well, guess what? I guess that's what I saw too. So reminds me of the 2 articles that I have written most recently on the COVID stuff. We're All Cats Now article back in October, and then COVID-19 Full Circle more recently talks about this stuff, you know, the piece that Tucker Carlson did on We're All Cats Now, I think is fascinating. You know, the video was titled, You're Not Allowed to Point This Out, This Is Insane. And it included a number of other videos, The Big Lie, Academy of Ideas, The Big Lie, How to Enslave the World, Mass Psychosis, How an Entire Population Becomes Mentally Ill, and of course, Aaron and Melissa Dykes, The Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual, Mass Psychogenic Illness, how everyone starts thinking themselves sick basically as a group, lists of mass hysteria cases in it, so on and so on. Anyway, I'll give you the example, speaking of large companies, when we come back. Stick around.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. This issue of meta and shaping perception, which then becomes reality, is no small issue. You know, speaking of shaping perception, which then becomes reality, one of the best examples. I mean, people just don't realize, even when you know it, it's still difficult to grasp hold of sometimes. You know, you kind of want to let the thought drift away, but I mean, one of my favorite examples of how perception shapes or even becomes reality is, you know, you think of a person for example, that thinks they have no health issues and you know, the implicit inherent thought in the back of a person's mind, is, and that's shaped by our society as well, but that I will live forever, essentially, in Pan syndrome. And it's not an entirely new thing, but that's, it's played upon, I would say, in this society, big time. Again, in Pan syndrome fashion. Anyway, so you think, you know, we don't live as though, you know, we don't live for the moment, so to speak, in the sense that, you know, we're constantly thinking, I'll just live forever, and so not worried about what's going on in the moment, when we should be valuing and cherishing things in the moment every day. We don't as much as we should, and that would create probably in us, if we live that way, more of a sense of urgency about certain things on a daily and moment-by-moment basis, but that's a different discussion, perhaps. Anyway, person with no issues thinking, you know, I got lots of time, basically. And then imagine the same person going maybe for a regular health checkup and the doctor says, oh my goodness, you have 6 months to live. That would be a shock. And that would completely change the person's perception, which in turn would change their reality. They would be horrified. Maybe the material facts of life hadn't changed at all, other than that a person in a white coat said, you only have 6 months to live. Now imagine the same person going back to the same doctor in 3 months and expecting to, you know, only to live three more months, only to hear the doctor say, you know, you probably have five more years or something like that. That would be wonderful news. And so it's all about expectations and perception shaping reality. Whereas before, if a person went to the doctor and the doctor said, you only have 5 years to live, that probably in most cases would be bad news. Whereas now, because they're expecting to live 3 months, 5 years is good news. Expectations and perception shaping reality. It's a very interesting thing. And that's something that some people work through. I've mentioned one example in particular that I've seen where medical doctors were literally responsible for ending a man's life and in a very painful sort of way in about 6 months. It was an agonizing death that he experienced because he received the wrong medication. And doctors acknowledged it, and at first he was angry, but then he worked through it and found peace and forgiveness and grace and mercy and all those things. It was a beautiful thing. But the point is, you could see that was like a microcosm of how this usually unfolds at glacial speed. It happened very quickly in his life, and you could see him work through those stages and get to a place where we should all just be by nature. But because society has groomed us in a certain way to think about just about everything in a certain way, and why? Well, like Bernays said, to influence behavior and actions. That's why, in simple terms. So this example, these large companies that do these customer feedback surveys, 5 questions in the case of the one that I'm thinking of, 5 questions, you know. And what was most fascinating was that all of the questions asked only how the agent performed. The agent performed excellent. But what about the terrible fascist company? What about their terrible fascist policies? And in true feudalist fashion, any feedback you provide can and will be used against you to clamp down on your service and charge you more whenever and wherever possible. And so you better not say anything. You better just say you're happy with the, you know, the business they're giving you, if you know what I mean, euphemistically speaking. So that's interesting. 5 questions about our service, but it's not the company. And isn't that curious? Because that's what you really want to comment about, but they leave that out. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone, old Constantinople, still it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be...
You know, do people realize the political significance of that song? I mean, I still have a globe that doesn't have Istanbul on it that I got from my grandmother. Anyway, it's Black History Month also. Are you not entertained? Among all the other fun things we got going on, I agree with Morgan Freeman. I don't want a Black History Month. Like he, you know, when he asked Mike Wallace, what do you think? You want a Jewish History Month? Mike Wallace looks at him like, that would be weird. Yeah, that's exactly, that's the point. Should there be one? I think, you know, honestly, it's a Romans 14 issue. One person regards one day above another, Another person regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. But what's the point? Not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Ah, well, that's a different perspective now, isn't it? Again, this discussion has us thinking in very selfish terms. Isn't that funny how the meta is used to manipulate us? So, speaking of all of this and, you know, Black History Month, the manipulation of folks and their perception and, you know, the month, without getting into the semantics of it right now, the idea of a Black History Month is manipulative, and it warps people's perceptions, probably not in ways that you would think. It's, I mean, in simple terms, let's call it a, you know, we could call it Affirmative Action Month, that kind of thing. And that's kind of, I think, what Morgan Freeman was getting at when he asked Mike Wallace that question. So anyway, there's a video on YouTube titled Thomas Sowell versus Trevor Noah on Slavery and Reparations, which features Thomas Sowell with, what's his name? Uncommon Knowledge, right? At the Hoover Institution. Peter Robinson, I believe. So, we're bumping up against time. Without further ado, here's that fun clip. Go ahead, please.
So, to your question, I think you have to understand what the word reparations means first. So, reparations, you are repairing something that you have broken. You are paying for something that you were supposed to pay for. I'm not saying that there aren't people living in America today who are suffering and are going through pain and strife because of what's happening when it comes to, you know, the machines taking jobs, factories becoming industrialized, etc. But reparations is a specific conversation about a specific time in America, and that is black people were slaves.
Article that got a lot of attention in The Atlantic a couple of years ago called The Case for Reparations by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Quote, "White supremacy is a force so fundamental to America that it is difficult to imagine the country without it. Reparations is the price we must pay to see ourselves squarely." Close quote. And Tom Sowell, who actually saw Jim Crow with his own eyes and experienced it, responds how?
It would be nice to know his evidence for what he said, just to be old-fashioned about it. No, it was a rotten system. But I don't know how we get from that to reparations. I mean, what we see in the United States in terms of the bad things, you see all around the world. If you were to give reparations to everyone whose ancestors had been slaves, I suspect that you would have to give reparations to more than half the entire population of the globe. Slavery was not confined to one set of races. I suspect that most of the people who were either slaves or slave owners around the world were neither white nor black. I mean, this was a universal curse of the human species.
Africa, the Middle East, Asia, slavery took place everywhere.
And it continued elsewhere long after it was abolished in the Western countries.
Right. You know what I mean? I've even heard people say, like, oh, but there were some of the Irish who were indentured. Like, yeah, let's slavery. Look at the numbers. Look at the time. Look at the level of work. You could not work toward your freedom. For most black people in America, this was a time when you were, that was it. You lived and died as a slave. And so that's what reparations is about.
The other thing, I have a slight sidebar on the history of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
The history of slavery existed all over the world for thousands of years, among all sorts of people, as far back as the history of the human species goes. It's one of many evils that the left tries to localize, when in fact it is a universal evil. But more than that, as much as slavery is repudiated around the world today, prior to the 18th century, I know of no serious effort to abolish the institution anywhere.
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 Not in Africa. Not in the Arabian
not
world.
Not in Africa in the 21st century.
Mm.
Adam Smith wrote in 1776 that the only place in the world where slavery had been abolished completely was Western Europe. And so this was
as late as the year this country was founded.
Yes. And so the idea that this is something that the United States had, that nobody else had, or the other countries that didn't have, it's been estimated that there are more slaves in India than in the entire Western Hemisphere. And that's quite, and that's before and after Columbus got here.
Right.
And so I hear what you're saying, but I think that's a completely separate conversation that needs to be had about the now. Because if you are not careful, what you then do is you combine everybody's suffering into the same ball and you make it seem like all injustices have the same weighting. And they don't, just like crimes. You know, theft isn't the same as murder. We don't try them the same way. And as much as there is a white person who's suffering today, I feel for anybody who's suffering because I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like to suffer. I didn't come from a wealthy family. We struggled when I was growing up. But I also understand that there are levels of that suffering, you know. And so sometimes white people, it does block a white person because you go, white privilege. And a person goes, I'm poor and I'm white. Where's the privilege? You know, white people are like, I wish I could activate my white privilege. I wish I could do it right now. White privilege, give me something. I get that. I get that. Trust me, I get it. It is hard to accept that you have benefits because of the color of your skin if you cannot see the benefits that you have. The
book that I'm writing now, I discovered this is true not only in the United States. It's true in England, and the situation is wholly different. And yet if you read the data, for example, from London, the educational tests and so forth, you see that immigrants from Africa pass this test they have. I'm talking about low-income people now. Nearly 60% of the time, blacks from Caribbean, like 50%, so on. Native-born whites in the same low-income bracket pass this test 30% of the time. And it's the same thing. The foreign people come in; they haven't had generations of being steeped in the welfare state vision. The vision of grievances, victimology, and resentments, and an idea that there are enemies out there dedicated to keeping you down. That's the message that's been pumped into the head of the white lower class in Britain. And that's the image that's been pumped into the black low-income people in the United States. And the results are the same in both cases.
But the thing I try to explain to a person is, think of it more like golf. Don't think of it as privilege, then think of it like a handicap, right? In golf, they acknowledge that you are in a position where you need so many advantages to be competitive in the game.
Is that we ought not to be doing this?
You know, there are various laws and policies that benefit one group at the expense of another. But I think affirmative action has the distinction of being one that it harms everybody, though in different ways. And so there's a lot of evidence that there are black kids who have all the qualifications to be successes in college, who nevertheless are failures because they are systematically mismatched with institutions whose standards they don't meet, even though they may meet the standards of 80 or 90% of the colleges in America. I remember first aware of this when I was teaching at Cornell, and I found that half the black students at Cornell were on some kind of academic probation. And so I went over to the administration building and looked up the SATs of these students. The average black student at Cornell at that time scored at the 75th percentile.
Which is pretty darn good.
Yes. And so that means that in most colleges in this country, they would have no trouble, and many of them would be on the dean's list. But at Cornell, the average liberal arts student at that time was in the 99th percentile. And when you're teaching students like that, you teach at a pace that most people of any race cannot keep up with. And it was always complained that I was assigning all kinds of reading. But heck, you know, I'm teaching kids who are in the top 1%. They can keep up with the reading that I'm assigning.
So Cornell was taking very talented black kids and spending 4 years teaching them to feel inadequate.
Yes, and succeeding at that. Mm.
Right, so what they say is you have a handicap of 15, so that means like you're going to be hitting from this tee and you get more chances to get the ball in because we understand the position you're in. And if you're a black person in America, from slavery, from day one.
Pondering all this, I noticed something, a column that you wrote, this is a couple of years ago, in which you rebutted Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times. And Kristof had ascribed the gaps between African Americans and whites in America, gaps in wealth, gaps in educational achievement, the usual gaps, mm-hmm. to, and this is a quotation from Kristof, to the lingering effects of slavery, close quote.
Oh, yes.
And here's Tom Sowell, quote, if we wanted to be serious about evidence, we might compare where blacks stood 100 years after the end of slavery with where they stood after 30 years of the liberal welfare state. In other words, we could compare hard evidence on the legacy of slavery with hard evidence on the legacy of liberals. Close quote. And
the number of injustices that have held black people back in America amount to an insurmountable, like you look at black people's freedom, you look at black people's land, just land alone. The amount of wealth you can acquire over time if you own land is exponential, because you have the land, you have the fact that you can borrow based on the land, you have the fact that you can use the money that you have borrowed to grow more wealth, you can use it to grow your family's wealth. Just taking that away from black people alone.
Right, right. And also, if you think you've been wronged, your recourse might also be more likely to politics to try to redress this whole redistribution,
yes. Oh, yes.
Rather than hit the books, acquire the skills, get the
job.
But
the other thing, too, my favorite statistic in there is that the poverty rate among blacks as a whole is 22%.
Mm-hmm.
Among whites as a whole is 11%. And among black married couples is 7.5%.
So
and it's been, and black married couples have never had a poverty rate as high as 10% in any year since 1994.
All right. So to the cry, what is to be done? Tom Sowell answers.
It's been done.
Get an education. Get married. Have kids after you get married. That's sort of the answer, right?
Well, yes. And the things that work for other people tend to work pretty generally.
Is crippling them. And so you combine that with slavery, and then you look at Jim Crow laws. You didn't let black people in America live in the areas that they wanted to live in. They couldn't get loans from the banks that they wanted to get loans from. And then on top of that, when they started getting the loans from American banks were found to be giving them higher interest rates, when in fact they were the same risk as many of the other races that they were giving loans to. So when you combine all of those things, I think it's safe to say that black Americans have a conversation that they need to be having with the United States. Doesn't involve me, doesn't involve white people, doesn't, it's like, yo, American government, meet the black people. That's it. Have that conversation.
In terms of political leaders, all the incentives politically are for black leaders to blame all problems in the black community on the larger society. And that enables them to take on the role of being the defender of the black community against enemies, which in turn creates the situation in which many blacks don't feel that anything that they do is going to help themselves unless it's done politically as a group. That there's no point. I mean, why would you, if you believe what they say, why would you want to knock yourself out in the school knowing that the man is not going to let you get anywhere? One of the most pathetic things I heard in recent years was a young black man saying that, you know, at one point he thought he would join the Air Force and become a pilot. And then he says he realized that the white man is not going to let a black man become a pilot. And he was saying this decades after the Tennessee Airmen had established their reputation in combat in Europe. You know, but the hopelessness is one of the big products of the race industry, that you have no chance. I remember giving a talk at Marquette, and at the end of the talk, among the questions that was asked, a young black man got up and he said, even though I am graduating from Marquette University, what hope is there for me? And having gone through college when I was in the 50s, I don't remember any blacks saying that in the 1950s, when there was a lot more obstacles to overcome than there were when this guy is graduating from Marquette. But you have to produce that kind of feeling in order to serve the interests of those in the race industry.
Somewhere watching this interview, there's a young Thomas Sowell. There's an African American who's smart and wants to do something with his life. seems to me, we've already got one piece of advice you'd offer to him is stay away from the racist industry. Stay away from the race hustlers. What advice would you give a young Thomas Sowell? How do you make something of yourself as an African American in America today?
The way anybody else would. You equip yourself with skills that people are willing to pay for.
All right. Tom.
And there you go. The practical wisdom of Thomas Sowell. Pretty awesome stuff. Thomas Sowell versus Trevor Noah on slavery and reparations. You know, it seems to me Trevor Noah has activated his white privilege. So, I don't know. Maybe he needs to confront that reality. It's funny to listen to Trevor Noah say these things too, by the way, because it always reminds me of, you know, what we've seen recently, you know, these crazy white people shouting about slavery and victimology and how certain people are oppressed. And I know some of them personally, and it's just a bizarre thing to watch. Kind of like Trevor Noah, popular late night television show host, talking about these subjects. It's very peculiar. Stick around, we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Thank you.
video camera converts the picture into a television signal.
Welcome back. So that was Thomas Sowell with Peter Robinson, and Thomas Sowell saying what I've been saying, only in a much more erudite sort of fashion, with his characteristically practical wisdom, I would say. It's funny how you really don't ever hear of any significant rebuttal to Thomas Sowell. Not really. Not any real rebuttal. It's his practical wisdom that flies in the face of the propaganda that really the propagandist doesn't want to touch. It's hard to gaslight Thomas Sowell and his practical wisdom out of existence. So it's better just to try to ignore him, if that makes sense. You know, you can't address it at all. You can't get close to it at all and try to gaslight it. So you just got to ignore it and gaslight it that way, if that makes sense. There are a number of things that he touched on, perhaps subtly, perhaps not so subtly, but, you know, maybe nuanced, that people, I think, miss. You know, I've talked about balkanization specifically in Beggar Thy Neighbor, and, you know, economically speaking, how it and the inverse are very devastating and cause conflicts among people, speaking of shaping people's thoughts and perceptions on things. And maybe we'll play it again. Maybe we'll play a couple of things. But, you know, there's that point that he makes about 6 minutes into the video. He says, you know, there are various laws and policies that benefit one group at the expense of another. That's called Beggar Thy Neighbor. And he said, but I think affirmative action has the distinction of being one that harms everybody, though in different ways. It's an equal offender, equal opportunity offender. And he explained one illustration of how it hurts everybody, makes a group of folks feel inadequate, and at the same time, you know, in simple terms, one of the aspects of what he's talking about is it makes one group feel inadequate and holds another group back, and then there's animosity between them. The one group that is being made to feel inadequate, socially engineered to feel inadequate, and as he points out, they are not. And it has nothing to do with anything other than a person's intellectual aptitude. That's it. So the one group feels like, you know, they are victimized by the other group and vice versa. And they're probably, you know, there are probably real examples of folks in those demographics that resent one another. And that resentment is not real. It's entirely fabricated because of this beggar thy neighbor approach that is, let's be honest, designed to offend. It's designed to balkanize. That's the clash of civilizations. Make some other brilliant points. I think that's an excellent montage that somebody put together. That'll do it for the first hour of today's broadcast. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine
could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.